So, Gideon was Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." Do keep that open. I'm going to go through it now. Now, I think you can tell something about a person by who their friends are. Let me give you a couple of examples. You see, if you have friends like these guys, what does it say about you? Well, you're probably quite famous. You're popular. You're pretty cool. You wear the right stuff. You have influence. You're famous. You're probably quite a good person to be around. That's if these guys are your friends. But imagine your friends were these guys. They've had some connection with West Midlands Police, broken the law. And so to be friends with them, you'd either have to be involved in what they do, these guys have been arrested for a crime, or at least you'd have to turn a blind eye to whatever crimes they're committing. This might be a very obvious question for you to work through. Which group of people would you rather hang out with? Obviously, being serious for a moment, we'd probably rather hang out with these guys, wouldn't we? Not just because they obviously look nicer, perhaps, but because they're more influential. They're more popular, they're more famous, they've got more money. But the question is, who do you think Jesus would rather hang out with? The guys in slide one or the guys in slide two? That's the question we're going to look at for a little bit together. Now, we're in Luke's eyewitness account of Jesus' life. That means he found people, Luke did, who actually saw these things happen, and he wrote it down. And Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He was going there because he was going to be killed for people like you and me. And as Jesus approached Jericho, that's a town outside Jerusalem, he'd healed a blind man in front of a whole load of people, and they'd gone and praised God. So I guess news of this would have reached Jericho. And so as Jesus enters Jericho, that's the first verse that we had read. So have a look down in verse 1. As he's entered there, picture the scene. There's probably a whole crowd lining the streets. This famous miracle guy who makes blind people see is the talk of the town. Everyone is there wanting to see a glimpse of this guy walk through their town on his way to Jerusalem. Verse 2 introduces to Zacchaeus. Have a look down with me. What do we know about him? We know that he was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. So he sounds like he's got it made. He's got a good job and he's got a job that gives him lots of money. But it doesn't look like he has many friends. And he wasn't thought of particularly highly. Have a look at how he's labelled in verse 7. You see, if Zacchaeus was to have a Facebook status, this would be it. Zacchaeus equals sinner. Not someone to waste any time with. Not someone you'd have round for dinner. Not someone you'd be friends with. This guy is clearly outside of God's favour. He'd be a guy we'd find in slide 2 with the West Midlands guys, not the celebrities of Hollywood. And I guess we wouldn't really want to hang out with Zacchaeus either, if that's what people thought. But he wants to see Jesus. Have a look at verse 3. He wants to see who Jesus was. Maybe he's heard about this miraculous healing of the blind man. He wants to see Jesus for himself. Good news travels fast, doesn't it? And he won't be put off despite his size. He knew Jesus' route. He knew the best place to go and look and see him. And so where does he go? He climbs a tree a little bit like this one. That's a sycamore fig tree for those of you of that nature of trees. He climbed a tree to see Jesus. Now, we haven't got trees like that here, I don't think, but I don't know my sycamore figs. But we do have Williams and Griffin. And imagine that you're walking down the street of Williams and Griffin, and then there's some guy in that area looking down at you. Talk to the person next to you. What would be your reaction if you knew that there was someone on top of Williams and Griffin looking down at you? Because there's kind of escalators and stairs to the first floor of the shop. Just behind the glass. Don't worry too much about the physics. Just chat to each other. If you had some dude up there amongst the reindeer looking down at you walking, how would you feel? Talk to people. Okay, great. Come back together. Shoot me some answers. Anyone got any answers? How would they feel if they were walking on Winston Griffin or walking on Colchester High Street, the beautiful scene that it is, and you look up and you see someone near the 50% off sign looking down at you? How would you feel? Go for it.
I'd be a bit freaked out.
Bit freaked out? Possibly. Yeah? What else? Go, Charlotte. Go for it. Yeah, what are you doing up there? Or Amy's question, how did you get up there? Yeah? Anyone else? Someone's looking down at you from the top of Williams and Griffin. You know that they're there. How would you react?
Okay. I'd
want to
go up and join them.
I think they're a bit weird.
You think they're a bit weird, so you go up and join them. Okay, great. That's all we need to know, really. Like the game, where we were looking for people. Excellent, thanks. We were searching for people. That's what Jesus is going to do later, though, so you haven't got to that point. But thanks for trying to link it in now. Thanks for that, it's helpful. I guess we wouldn't react how Jesus reacted with Zacchaeus. Have a look at verse 5 in your Bibles, and have a look at this verse. When Jesus reaches the spot where Zacchaeus' tree is, where he's watching him, he looks up and says to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." It doesn't look like Zacchaeus and Jesus have met before, and yet Jesus knew his name. But even more than that, Jesus invites himself round to Zacchaeus' house, not because he's being rude, but out of friendship. He wants to be associated with Jesus. Remember who Zacchaeus is? He's this guy that no one else wants to know, no one wants to be friends with, and yet it's him who gets this one-on-one time with Jesus. And it's not as if Jesus hasn't got stuff to do, has he? He's got to go to Jerusalem, he's got to die for people like you and me, and yet he's got time for this guy. And that's because Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. That's what he's about. He's more interested in hanging out with people like Zacchaeus than the Hollywood celebrities of the day, the religious leaders. He's more interested in guys in slide 2 than he is in slide 1. I wonder when the last time Zacchaeus had someone round his house. No one would have predicted that the Son of God would be the guy who gets to go around Zacchaeus' house. What do the crowd think? Have a look at verse 7. They mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." In their eyes, Zacchaeus is the last person Jesus should be hanging out with. He should be hanging out with guys like this, not guys like Zacchaeus. So here's a question. Why does Jesus bother? That's the question I was thinking as I was reading this week. Why does Jesus bother with Zacchaeus? We could see how he would bother with people who aren't well, little children, perhaps people who are religious. Why does Jesus bother with a rich guy who's got no friends, who no one likes? Why should he bother? We're going to pause. Why don't you put your Bibles down for a sec? Keep them open. I want you to watch a little video with me. Just a little mini interlude. I hope this works. It's a video of a lifeguard rescue. Real one, I think. Going on in a swimming pool. And if you want to play this game in your heads, you need to work out who's the person who is going to get saved.
Alright.
Thank you.
Okay. To pick your Bible, pick your Bibles back up again. Who would have had that person? Who predicted it was that girl who was going to get? Nice. You could be a lifeguard.
Well,
yeah, you did when she was drowning. Before. Okay, right. I think we're all over there. A child's drowning and rescued pretty speedily by the lifeguard, to be honest. The reaction time was about 3 or 4 seconds, so it's pretty good. And the lifeguard brought her to safety. See, the lifeguard's job in any swimming pool is to be on the lookout for people in trouble. It's to search out where there's trouble and to rescue when it's needed. So why does Jesus bother with Zacchaeus? Because that's what Jesus has come to do. Not to save people from drowning, but to find and rescue lost people. Have a look at verse 10. That's probably the point of this story, I think. The Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. So Jesus, with all of God's authority, has come to rescue simple, lost people like you and me. Why are we doing this at the start of our term? Well, for the next 7 weeks, in this kind of teaching slot, we're going to be running two courses. In here with the older guys, we're going to be doing Changing Lanes. With the younger guys next door, we're going to be doing Christianity Explored. And both those courses are designed to help people who don't know Jesus to find out more about him. To find out about the fact that he comes to seek and save those who are lost. But perhaps you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, I'm not sure these courses are for my friends at school. I mean, they've never shown any interest in Jesus before, so why would they now? And actually, when I've talked to my friends at school about Jesus, they just laugh in my face. So why would I want to go and do it again if that's what's going to happen? Or perhaps you know there's a person in your class who's just a loner. And when you try to be nice to them, they're just mean to you back. Surely Jesus isn't for that person in your class. What does verse 10 say? The Son of Man has come to seek and save what was lost. He's come to find lost people like you and me. It doesn't matter how rich or poor they are. It doesn't matter how many friends they have. It doesn't even matter if they're nice. It doesn't matter whether they're in slide 1 or slide 2. They're both just as lost as each other. Both need rescuing by Jesus. Now, I guess we don't like to be told this, do we? We don't like to be told that we're sinful and we're lost without Jesus, because we like to think we've got life sorted. We've got friends, family, money, prospects for the future, perhaps the latest Xbox or iPhone, or if you didn't, you might have got it now for Christmas. But we also know people who have all that stuff, don't we? And they're not sorted. Actually, they're unhappy. They're unfulfilled. They're messed up. That was what Zacchaeus was like. Okay, he didn't have the latest iPhone and Xbox, but he had the money that he needed to buy anything he wanted. If he could buy happiness, Zacchaeus could do it. But he was missing something, wasn't he? In fact, he wasn't missing something. He was missing someone. And when he met Jesus, his life changed. And this is how his life changes. Have a look at verse 8 in your Bible, or look up here. This is how Jesus changes Zacchaeus' life. Look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount. This isn't Zacchaeus buying his way into Jesus' good books. This is his response to the rescue that Jesus has brought in his life. See, his need for Jesus meant that money was no longer important to him. He'd been all about getting as much money as he could. Now, as a result of meeting Jesus, he's about giving as much money as he can away. He'd all been about cheating people out of their money so he could have as much as he wanted. Now he's about generously repaying anybody he's cheated for the wrongs he's done to them. How do you explain that change? Because Jesus found him and rescued him from his sin. Zacchaeus had a new life, a new friend, and a saviour. And the great news for us this evening is that's true for us too. For those of us who are Christians here this evening, we're in that same category. We have a new life, a new friend, a saviour. But it's just as good a news is that for those who don't know Jesus this evening, for those at our school who we'd love to invite, or perhaps we're just thinking about maybe they would want to come, that news is for them too. That Jesus has come to seek and save the lost. Because he's come to seek lost people like you and me. He's come to seek lost people like your friends at school. If that's what Jesus is like, who wouldn't want to hang out with a God like that? Why don't I pray for us, and then Hayley's going to tell us what we're going to do next. So let's be quiet for a moment. Perhaps think of one thing that struck you from what we've looked at this evening. Jesus' love for sinners, his love for us, his desire to seek lost people. Perhaps that friend at school that's been coming to mind as you've been thinking about what we've been looking at this evening. Why don't I pray? Lord Jesus, thank you to seek and to save lost people like you and me. Thank you that you came to save Zacchaeus, despite how he was treated by everyone around him. You saw him for who he was, someone who is in desperate need of you. Father, help us to remember what we've been saved from and to remember that amazing offer that you give to us, to our families, to our friends who don't know you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andy. And you might be thinking, oh, I've got no idea what he's all about, changing lanes.